I've said it before, I want to say it again, that these prophecies that we're studying, there are some folks that say that if you do not have a any moment, signless event called the rapture, then you can't watch for Christ to come back. And I want to say to you that that is not true. I can say in my own personal experience that I've never been more watchful and anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ than I am right now at this moment in history. And it's helped in part by understanding these prophecies that are now, they're imminent. They are leading up to the second coming and the rapture. The rapture is not a now prophecy, but it is a next prophecy. And we're getting closer, and we realize we're getting closer by understanding the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. As Peter said, we do well to take heed to these prophecies that we've been studying as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And we said Sunday night that they help you to love his appearing. And I asked the question Sunday night, and I ask it again tonight. Do you love his appearing? Do you love it? Are you looking forward to it? Are you excited about it tonight? Are you anticipating it? Is your anticipation being built up? And if it's not, there's something wrong there in your life, in your relationship to prophecy. And I hope that will change for you, because every one of these things gets us closer to the second coming and heightens our appreciation for it. And we said Sunday night, and Brother Bob answered the question. I asked the question, so I'll just answer it tonight. The super sign that has already been fulfilled in Ezekiel 37 is the super sign that we are in the very antechamber of the time of the second coming. The super sign is the nation of Israel becoming a nation, regathered back in their land with their own language as of May 14, 1948. And what a thing that is. And that ought to build us with excitement that we in the church are now seeing the nation of Israel back as a nation, just as the prophets Ezekiel said it would happen hundreds of years before Christ. And not only that, but in 1967, they recaptured the city of Jerusalem, setting the stage for the rebuilding of the temple, which 2 Thessalonians says will happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ, and leading up to that, the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. You see, these things are happening one after the other. They're ticking off, and I've seen them in my lifetime. And then there was the 73 Yom Kippur War, and Israel annexed more of its land. Now, they've given some of it back, but they've kept some, the Golan Heights, and they've kept the Temple Mount and all of that in Jerusalem. But this is just leading up to what I believe on May 7th with Israeli time was crossing the Rubicon of Bible prophecy and is going to be a huge fulfillment of Psalm 83, which was prophesied 3,000 years ago by the prophetic singer Asaph. And we have been studying that. And I believe that this attack from Gaza upon Israel is the beginning of the fulfillment, very possibly, of Psalm 83. And if that's the case, this thing that's happening over there now with Israel, they're trying to say there should be a ceasefire, and Israel saying, no, not till the hostages come back. And no, not until we eradicate Hamas. We're not going to have this happen again. This was horrendous. And I've never seen in my lifetime, and that's saying something, anti-Semitism like it is now. This is, you're not going to put, I don't believe, this genie back into a bottle here. This thing is going to erupt and it's going to expand. And Biden is trotting out that old baloney, it's just baloney, a two-state solution. Listen, the Palestinians don't believe in a two-state solution. And neither does Israel, really. The Palestinians say, and Rashida Tlaib is a good example of it. Didn't they just censure Rashida Tlaib? Amen to that one. And she just came up and she said, I am the Palestinian representative in Congress. And her two-state solution, this is why she got censured, was not a two-state, it was a one-state. And she said, from the river to the sea. And what that means is, eradicate every Jew that lives over there. And let the Palestinians have a one state, a Palestinian state called Palestine. And I've already told you, Palestine represents the ancient Philistines, the great enemy of Israel, that the emperor of Rome in about AD 135, he said, who is the worst enemy of the Jews? And they said the Philistines. And in the Latin that he spoke, that meant Palestina. He said, okay, we'll name it Palestine and we'll turn Jerusalem into a toilet. And that's what he did. And that's been going on all those years until God supernaturally and providentially began to bring about a shaking of the dry bones of Ezekiel 37. And then putting flesh on those bones and breathing life into those bones so that you have a political entity, a nation, as of May 14, 1948. And so these things are proceeding, and it's now to the point where the parchment of prophecies leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ are jumping off the parchment of the book here and rolling out onto the pavement of the news. And you're seeing it happen. And oh, how much more it means if you would know what the Bible says about these things. So many Christians are ignorant. So many Christians are not watching for these prophecies. And so we have looked at the now prophecy of Psalm 83. And we've looked at another now prophecy of Jeremiah 49. And some people are saying, well, how can there be a wider war over there? How can you have people that have made peace with Israel, like Jordan, fight Israel? Well, do you know, just today, I heard that the Jordanian ambassador, they withdrew the Jordanian ambassador from Israel and said, get your ambassador out of here. That's Jordan. They've had peace for years. Remember, Bill Clinton tried to have that peace. And these are fragile peace accords with Egypt and with Jordan and with Iraq and all these countries. And all these things are bubbling up. And I'll tell you another thing that I think, this is just my view of it. And I heard an interview with Bill Salas just today. And I was looking for a current since this started. And Bill Salas, this is his opinion as well, that what is happening is Iran is playing chess. And we know from Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39, that there is going to be a strike against the western coast of Iran that hugs the Persian Gulf, that is ancient Elam. And there Iran has its underground tunnels. There Iran has its ICBMs. There Iran has its missiles ready to launch. There Iran has its facilities and engines of war. And Bill Salas said this, and I was amazed at it. He said that 2 weeks before May the 7th, Iran was declared able to have enough fissionable material to make a nuclear bomb. 2 weeks before May the 7th. And he said, and I tend to agree, that they are behind, and Israel calls Iran the what? The snake. Remember? And they said that we're going to cut off the head of the snake. And so Iran is helping their proxies to do this. Well, why aren't Hezbollah going in? And why aren't more of their proxies going in? Like Syria is a proxy state for Iran. Did you know that? Iran wants to have a Shiite Muslim caliphate from Iran right to the Mediterranean with no Israel there. Why aren't they moving ahead? Well, what Bill Salas said was he believes they're trying to get their nuclear bomb together on the fast track. And they want to arm those missiles that are there in Western Iran that Jeremiah speaks about when he says they're the chief of their might. What makes those missiles the chief of their might? The fact they can hit Israel from Western Iran in 6 minutes? Oh, yes, that may be, but what would make them the chief of their might? One of the men tell me, what would make those intercontinental ballistic missiles the chief of their might? Brother Matt.
They're nuclear, sir.
Tip them with nuclear bombs. And Bill Salas believes, and I tend to agree, that they very well right now are rushing. You notice the inspectors are not under control, having Iran under control, its nuclear program. They're not even focusing on that right now. So while everybody's watching Hamas, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen to Hezbollah, what about the snake? What about Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39? If you know that prophecy, like Mr. Salas does, you know that if that happens, and that becomes the chief of their might, like is prophesied, that is going to have to be struck. That is going to have to be struck by Israel, certainly, and very possibly by the United States. And I'm just saying to you, I would not be surprised if that is going to come into play. And if that is not going to kick off this wider conflict. But I do believe this, that this wider conflict will occur. And it will involve Jordan, and it will involve Egypt, and it will involve Lebanon, and it will involve, of course, Hezbollah, and already Hamas, and it will involve Syria, a proxy of Iran, and it will involve Iraq, and it will involve all of these countries. And when the dust settles from all of that, it will not be Palestine. From the Mediterranean to the Jordan River, the Dead Sea. It will not be that. It will be Israelistine, and it will go all the way from the sea, all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. Saudi Arabia will be taken over by Israel. And all of these nations that have fought against God. And Bill Salas brought out some prophecies. I don't have time to preach on them tonight. But he brought out some other prophecies that were amazing of the fact that God would bring these Arab nations back into reality and give them a chance to honor the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they have turned to a false god, Allah. And so he said that he would take them out. And these nations, I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, I'm talking about Jordan, I'm talking about Egypt, I'm talking about all of these nations, Israel is going to take them over. Not by the peace covenant that will begin the set. No, no. but by war. The Psalm 83 war in conjunction with Jeremiah 49. That is what I believe the prophets are talking about when it comes to Israel being regathered. Are you seeing that? I've been preaching on this for 10 years. And now it's so close. I mean, it may have already begun. And you realize that sets off a domino effect. One thing after the other thing. Leading right up unto the second coming and the rapture, friends. And so this ought to build your anticipation as you look at Bible prophecy. And it ought to spur your witness on. And I found myself, I was at the dentist today. And I was witnessing to the dentist about this. And I gave him our track. I said, here, I said, you click onto our website. And he and I become good friends over the years. And my son's wife used to work for him as a hygienist. And my son is a dentist. He knows him. And anyway, I gave him that. I said, get onto our website. And I said, click onto what this attack from Gaza means to you. He said, you know what, I'll do that. Because I started telling them about the end times and about the Lord. And I was witnessing to his assistant there and witnessing to him. And I went down to pay my bill. And Diane, who's been to our church, has been his secretary for years. She said, oh, look at Pastor. I was going to give him this to witness to him. And I was listening to you in there witnessing to him. And I said, yeah, he's not going to know what hit him. You'll hit him one way and I'll hit him the other. But pray for my dentist. God is giving us opportunities, if you know Bible prophecy, to turn people to Jesus Christ and to faith in Jesus Christ. And so, are you watching? Are you waiting with anticipation? And I ask God to give me some things between now and the second coming, and even leading up to the 7 years, which I have studied and learned, and he's given me these things, and I'm sharing them with you to help you to get ready. And I'm getting excited about these things. And so we could very well see these things being fulfilled. And right now, I cannot see very easily this genie put back into the bottle of what's being released over there. And so it's going to be, I believe, a fulfillment and a bringing forth of what's happening. I hear a cell phone, you owe me a pizza, whoever it is. Oh, it's me. Get rid of that thing. I owe myself a pizza right in my back pocket. Just like that cell phone invaded our service. One day on the news, now listen to me very carefully. One day on the news, you're going to hear Damascus, Syria is gone. You're going to go to bed one day and it'll be there. The whole city will be gone. It has 25% of Syria. You say, well, why would God allow something like that to happen? I would not get around Damascus, Syria. If you know Bible prophecy, read Isaiah 17:1 and read all the way through verse 9. And you'll see that it's Israel that's going to be responsible for blowing up Damascus, Syria. And they have to do it in such a way as the nuclear fallout won't blow back on Tel Aviv. And they can do that. And they know how to do that. But I'm just saying to you that this is the world we live in. And I said to the dentist, you know, the Bible said in the last days there shall come perilous times. He said, what? I said, perilous times. He said, what? I said, perilous times. And you know what? It is true. Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy 3 said, in the last days there shall come perilous times. And we're living in those times. And people say, well, that doesn't make me encouraged about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, do you believe God can take care of you through perilous times? I've seen God take care of me and so many times. I don't have to be afraid. He says, fear not. These things must come, but I'll be with you, even to the end of the age, even to the end of the world. He'll be with you. But if you're not saved, oh, then you need to realize you're in perilous times. And you're going to be taken over by deception and by the lies of the globalist and eventually the Antichrist. And so all of these things are so clear in the Bible. And I've been preaching on these things and watching and waiting for these things to come to pass. And so I hope that you are doing the same and looking for the Lord to come back. Now, I've been talking about a now prophecy. Jeremiah 49, the attack upon Iran from the air is going to happen. It could happen any time. The destruction of Damascus, Syria, in one day could happen at any time. Isaiah 17. The destruction, Jeremiah 49, 2, of Amman, Jordan, the capital of Jordan. We just talked about Jordan withdrawing their ambassador. Could happen at any time. And when it does, the Bible says that Israel will take over Jordan. That could happen at any time. It's a now prophecy, you see. But I want to begin to talk to you tonight looking beyond all of this. Looking beyond this that I've been preaching on for the last 10 years and which very well may be unfolding before our very eyes. But now looking beyond this. And I want to look at what is called a next prophecy. What will happen next? What will be the next war? Before the 70th week of Daniel and after the Psalm 83 and Jeremiah 49, what would be next that we would look forward to? And I want to begin at least tonight and talk about part 8 of what the invasion from Gaza may mean to you. And I want to ask you to turn to Ezekiel 38 and 39. If you'll turn there and look at the prophet Ezekiel, who prophesied about 600 years approximately before Christ and looked ahead of Israel being regathered to their land, beginning in the late 1800s and it going right on up until May 14, 1948, gathered back to their land in unbelief. And I want to look at that with you. And now, after they're back in their land, he's talking about another war. Now, if you listen to a lot of people, and I want to ask you, how many have heard that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the next big war that's going to happen? Yeah, not so. And I'll show you that tonight. It's a next prophecy. That this Psalm 83 that I'm talking about has to happen first before Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we want to look at, because eventually this attack from Gaza by Hamas is going to lead to the Jeremiah 49, Psalm 83, Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7, Ezekiel 25, 14 through 17, and Isaiah 17, 1 through 9, and the destruction of Damascus, and Jeremiah 49, 2, the destruction of Amman, Jordan. It's going to lead to all that, which is going to lead into this big war. Now, let me just say this before I go further with this. When Israel came back to their land, the Arab people have fought against them, because the Arab people, who've been given nations even before Israel got their nation in 1948, Egypt and Syria and all of these nations from the 1920s right on up to about the time of Israel becoming a nation, they all got their nations back. But they didn't turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They turned to Allah. And who got Allah going? A guy by the name of Muhammad. And I was just talking to a guy today. He wanted help from our church. I told him how you can get help. But he said, well, I'm Islamic. And I said, well, let me just tell you. Islam, I said, started about AD 600. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob spoke to Abraham many years before that. And I said, not only that, I said, Jesus Christ, 600 years before Muhammad became the sacrifice for our sin. I said, Muhammad borrowed from those religions. And what was he trying to do? I said, he was trying to unite the Arab people so that they would be a mighty force. And so he came up with a way to get them all to accept Islam. You know what it was? Jihad. You either accept Allah or you die. They haven't moved far from that, have they? You either submit to Allah or you die. That's not our faith. That's not our gospel. Although you will die and go to hell, but we'll not kill you. But he will kill you. You either accept it or you die. And I said, and that's what he did. And he united that. And I went into the gospel and I told him about Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, I got saved by Jesus Christ and you need to be saved and accept him. And the phone was just dead silent after that. I don't know what happened. But anyway, got the witness in there today. And I'm saying to you that God is, I believe, fed up with Islam. Amen. And he's getting ready to judge Islam. And you're going to see in this Psalm 83 war before the Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's an inner ring of nations that ever since Israel became a nation, they have been bent on destroying Israel and cutting them off from being a nation. And that's what Psalm 83 is all about. It happened in 1948. It happened in 1967. It happened in 1973. And really, ever since then, they've wanted to do it. They just haven't been able to do it. And they're getting ready to do it again. But my friends, it will not be successful. Why? Because the God called Allah, small g, is no match for Jehovah God. Amen. Jehovah God will win. Every time. And they're not going to drive Israel out. And you need to know that. But I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're playing with fire. Because what they're going to do is drive themselves out. And all these nations that are the inner ring of nations that are Islamic nations that are pictured right up there. All of these nations, listen to me, will be possessed by Israel. And that is what's going to happen. And then after that happens, guess what? Islam is going to be struck a great blow, but it's not over because you have Islamic nations in the former Soviet Union, in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan and all those stands, Central Asian Republic, they're Islamic. And you're going to have Iran that's going to still come back and be Islamic after it's been judged once. It's still going to come back. And Turkey, big Islamic nation. And Turkey has been causing trouble for Israel. They're going to come back. And Northern African nations, like those Houthis that are shooting the missiles off. How many have heard of the Houthis shooting the missiles at Israel? They're Islamic people. And God is going to judge that outer ring of nations in what is called the Gog-Magog War after Psalm 83 and Jeremiah 49. And so we're talking about this invasion from Gaza and what it means to you. And you are seeing these Bible prophecies come to pass. And I wonder if some of you are awake. I think some of you are. And you're watching. You're watching for the bridegroom to come back. You're watching and you're knowing it's getting close. And so you're getting close to the Lord because it's close. You're watching and like a bride would wait for her wedding day, you're waiting for that day and looking forward to it. And you're working. You're working for Jesus in light of it and using it. Now, that's what God wants. And our church should be on the front lines of this. Because I believe we have the right understanding of these prophecies that are leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when one happens after the other, it builds anticipation if you're into it. But if you're like, then you're like those that are asleep when the bridegroom comes. And you need to be rebuked tonight. You need a rebuke from your preacher. Because the Lord rebukes those that sleep. You know, you sleep for two reasons. One is you're not saved. You don't even have the grace of God in your life. The other is that you're not right. You're not walking closely. You're caught up too much with the world. So tonight I'm just saying that this God Magog war is a next prophecy. And I want to look at number one, the purpose of it. Number two, the perspective of it. And number three, I want to look at the power of God displayed in this invasion, this invasion after Israel has won the Psalm 83 war and come out on the good side of Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. All right, so let's look at the purpose of this war. And I want you to look, first of all, at Ezekiel 39, verse 7. If you'll turn there and focus in on the purpose of this war. Ezekiel 39, look at verse 7. I'll read it. You follow. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. All right? In other words, God said, I'm going to use these things to get attention to people to know that salvation is of the Jews, like Jesus said. Allah is not God. He is a false God, backed by Satan. That the Lord is God. The name Lord, capital L-O-R-D in your King James Bible, what it refers to is he's the God that made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Isaac, not Ishmael, Abraham's son and founder of the Arab people who are now Islam worshipers. No, he did it through Isaac. And then he chose not Esau, who has become an Islam-worshipping people. He did it through what? Jacob. And so that is the Lord. And God is saying, one of the great reasons why God brought Israel back into the land and why God, listen to me, is doing miracles in Israel and will do great and mighty things, and you're about to see more of those things in your lifetime, is so that people know that he's not the God of Ishmael and Esau. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, he'll save Ishmaelites and he'll save Esauites if they turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you have to turn from idols to serve the living God. You have to have repentance toward God so you can have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be right up there, up front, who God is. Amen? He's not the God of evolution. He's the God of creation. He's not the God of Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of Yeshua, the Messiah from Israel. And you must trust him. You must trust him. And it's time to witness, friends. It's time to come out of the closet. They got gay pride. How about Jesus pride, man? Lift up the Savior. Lift him up high and lift it up. And that's the purpose, listen to me, of what is going on in this war that we've been preaching on and what's going to go on in the Gog Magog war, the next one after the Lord deals with Islam and this one. And it happened to me in 67. I was studying. I was in a church. They didn't believe in any future for Israel. Let me tell you something. I believe in a post-trib pre-wrath rapture, but I also believe in a future for the nation of Israel, literally. I take these prophecies literally. Literally. And it's important to me. And I believe that's one of the reasons God raised me up as a preacher. He wants me to talk about these things and hammer them home. And God gave me a hard head to do that. Because not everybody appreciates it. Well, I don't care. I don't give a flip. Because God made me that way. Because He wants this nation of Israel to not pollute His name, profane His name, but to exalt His name. You see? And for all of those years from AD 70 through AD 135 in the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, and all of those years when the Jews have wandered all over the world into all these nations and been persecuted and hated and wound up in Hitler's ovens, God was showing His incredible anger with His people for rejecting Him. Even going back further, He talks about it in Ezekiel, the Babylonian captivity, and all of that. But now, in these last days, God is showing through the nation of Israel, listen to me, His great faithfulness to His promises, His great faithfulness, His great glory, His great wonder and splendor. And that's what happened to me in 1967. It got my attention like the burning bush. I said, wait a minute. Look what's happening in the Middle East. Look what's happening. 6 days, Israel, the children of Israel, defeated all the millions and millions of Arabs. How did they do that? How did just a few million people defeat 60 million Islamic people that hated them? And I had to conclude it was God. And that the God of Israel still lives and He's still working with Israel, even though they're in unbelief. And guess what? It got my attention. My church did not believe in a future for Israel. My church believed that the church, listen to me, replaced the nation of Israel. But I concluded, no, the church did not replace Israel. Israel is God's earthly people. We're God's heavenly people. God can deal with Israel in unbelief while still dealing with the church and the Great Commission. And He can use Israel so that you can witness if you know how to do it. And that's how I got into the Bible. And when I got into that Bible, I got under conviction. And my grandma gave me the gospel in 67, June of 1967, and your preacher got saved. The same year, Israel won the Six-Day War. And I'm still here as a witness that God is working with and through the nation of Israel. And what is His purpose? I want to make known my holy name in the midst of my people Israel. I'll not let them pollute my holy name anymore. Listen, is He doing it for Israel because they're so great? Why is He doing it? For His holy name. Because He promised. And He purposed it. He cares about His reputation. It's about time God's people cared more about God's reputation than our reputation. God's glory more than our comfort and everything go well for us. If you honor God, guess what He'll do? He'll honor you. You make little of God, He'll make little of you. And so that's a good thing to keep in mind when we think about the purpose of this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. Now, there's a similar purpose. Listen carefully. There's a similar purpose in the Psalm 83 war that may be going on right now. And it's in Psalm 83. We've already quoted it, verse 18. I'll say it again. The Bible says that men may know that Thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all the earth. Not Allah. Not the God of evolution, which is time and chance and no God. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he's real. And I believe the Jewish people are going to begin to realize, wait a minute, God is real. And they're already beginning to realize it, that God brought us back here. God's dealing with his people. You see, God brought us back here. And he's real. And the God of Israel, that men may know Jehovah. What's Jehovah? Listen to me. You got to understand this. Jehovah is the God who made a covenant with Israel to give them a land, to give them the Messiah that would save the world, and to give them a people that would bless the world when they accept that Messiah. And that he's the Most High over all the earth. Listen, you're going to have some wonderful witnessing opportunities if you get a hold of what God is doing in the news right now. Because people are interested. And if you know God's purpose in this war, allowing this war in the Middle East, and if you know what God's purpose is in the next war, that he's going to bring down Islam and exalt himself, you're going to have the opportunity, like I did to that Islamic guy right today. And our church can do it, and you could win Islamic people to the Lord because God chose Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The things I just mentioned about Abraham, God blessed and did that work in their life. So I'm saying that in the Psalm 83 war and in the Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're called the Gog-Magog war, God will exalt the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and lower the focus on the God of Islam. And that's why these wars have to result in a victory for God to uphold his holy name. God's able to do that, you see. When God made the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, 12, he put Abraham to sleep to show that he would guarantee the fulfillment of the covenant. Abraham was asleep, but God said, I am going to make this covenant, and I'm going to back my own covenant here and put Abraham to sleep. And God will do it. He will do what he said he would do. And God will take care of Israel. He doesn't need Joe Biden to take care of Israel. God will take care of Israel because his name is at stake. And Ezekiel 38, 39, 7 talks about that. And God has talked about his holy name not being profaned. And so that's God's purpose. That's why he let them be in captivity. They worshiped idols. They were profaning his name. And God is saying, I want my name upheld. And I want my name exalted. And the heathen, he says, shall know that I'm the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now listen, how are they going to know it? They're going to know it by Psalm 83 war. They're going to know it by Ezekiel 38, 39 war. But what are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? When they know that it's not the God of Islam, when they know it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what are we going to do with it? Wow, we're going to turn them to Jesus Christ. And it'll be an opportunity to reach people for Jesus Christ. And churches that know the prophetic word of God, what an opportunity it is for us. And you need to invite people. Get on the website. Listen to these messages. Come out to church. Come to Christ. Because we are living in perilous times. But the best place and the safest place for you to be is right in the center of the will of God. You don't have to fear anything. Because you've got God's protection. God will take care of you until he wants to call you home. But he's looking for witnesses. And you have the opportunity. So pay attention. And I want to end with this tonight. Pay attention to God's purpose in this Ezekiel 38 and 39. To do what? To lift up his holy name. And so are you watching for the Lord to come? Are you waiting expectantly? Are you working to lift up God's name? May God help us to do that.
Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight and every eye closed. We've been talking about, are you watching?